Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
You can't work with companion animals with behavioral problems without thinking about animal cognition and intelligence. Or at least I can't. Not that any lack of answers disrupts my enjoyment of one of my favorite activities, watching animals learn on their own. Often they remind me of toddlers and preschoolers. They're natural learners. Moreover, young children and animals want to learn the same things. Everything they need to negotiate their physical and mental territories successfully. Skills developed during this self-directed process involve an understanding of physics, mathematics, biology, ecology, ethology, psychology, and sociology, among other subjects. But neither dogs and cats nor little kids think of it that way. They think of it as play. They think of it as fun. While behavioral researchers explored animal cognition and intelligence via experiments demonstrating things such as members of the same animal species could count, mathematician Timothy Pennings took a completely different approach. He learned from his dog, Elvis. Elvis, a Pembroke Welsh Corgi, loved to retrieve his ball from the waters of Lake Michigan. But unlike me, a person with a mathematical acumen of, at best, a drug sloth, Penning saw his dog's play with far more insight. Specifically, Pennings noticed that when he threw the ball into the water for Elvis to retrieve, he presented his dog with a problem common to every calculus student. Sort of. Pennings described Elvis's problem in his paper, Do Dogs Know Calculus?, as finding the optimal path from A to B. Optimal may mean, for example, using the least amount of energy. And typically in these problems, and inevitably to my horror as a student, the available paths must traverse two different mediums involving different rates of speed. But Elvis used his own criteria. This was play, after all, the time to celebrate that all was right in his world. He didn't need to conserve energy lest some demon threaten his owner or his territory. He could devote all of his energy to doing something he enjoyed. And in his world, the goal was to retrieve the ball as fast as possible so his owner could throw it again. And that meant figuring out the optimal combination of running along the beach and swimming toward the ball that would yield this result. I've included a link to Penny's research on Elvis's ball retrieving strategy that was published in the College Mathematics Journal. Even if mathematics isn't your strong suit, be not afraid. Penning's approach to the subject is playful rather than pedantic. This makes it a lot more accessible to us numerophobes than it would be otherwise. And it further supports the play learning link demonstrated by his dog. Equally fascinating, for as complex as Penning's calculations may appear to us numerically challenged folks, they don't address all the variables that Elvis needs to take into account to retrieve his ball as fast as possible. Mind-boggling variables, such as how long to run on his stubby little legs in the water before he actually starts swimming, and the effects of wind and waves on the ball's location at any given time. And unlike his owner's calculations, which assumed that Elvis's running and swimming speeds remain constant, Chances were they did not. Consequently, Elvis's actual path could be superior to Penning's calculated ideal. After reading this study, I began to think about the difference between cognition and intelligence in earnest. The potential answer or answers so reeked of down the rabbit holeism that I did some reading on the subject for help. I discovered there seems to be some agreement that cognition relates to any brain activity involving neurological processes or conscious thought. Cognitive ability enables those who possess it to perceive and make sense of their realities. It turns out that the concept of intelligence is a Victorian invention that owes its existence to Francis Galton. He attempted to apply his cousin Charles Darwin's findings regarding evolution to human mental abilities. This distinction is important. Unlike cognition, which seems to include any living being that has a brain, intelligence was defined as a human trait. Some might argue that Elvis is a bright star in the cognition realm, but in the intelligence one, he could be dumber than a stump. I say this with all due respect to the stump, which may possess its own yet undiscovered cognitive abilities too. So where does that leave all those references to canine and feline intelligence, let alone all those tests for same? Are these merely anthropomorphic projections of some intelligence-deficient segment of the human population? I don't think so. Thanks to the dynamic physiological, behavioral, and bond effects of human and animal domestication, successful domestic animals needed to learn to coexist with humans to survive from the beginning. And that meant somehow learning to understand the way the human mind works. No doubt the animals' enhanced sensory perception helped them a great deal in this regard. When people viewed the animals in their care as sources of food, fur, leather, and other products that their own survival depended on, those people needed to understand how the animal mind worked too. But as domestication progressed and certain animals became pets, a perception of the animal as a symbol of human wealth, status, or other specialness could erode any human desire to understand how the animal's mind worked. When this occurred, companion animals needed to learn even more about how the human mind worked to compensate for this deficit if they wanted to succeed. This would result in two kinds of animal knowledge. One was the species-specific knowledge of reality developed during play. When Elvis honed his ball-retrieving skills during play, he successfully applied what we consider higher mathematical principles in a physical and perceptual reality quite different from his owner's. Thus, we can honestly say that Elvis is a very learned dog. He has excellent cognitive skills. But is he an intelligent one? I would say yes, because he not only trained Dr. Penning to toss the ball into the lake for him, his behavior inspired his owner to analyze the dog's behavior in mathematical terms and write an article describing this that educates and delights us. Even people like me, who never read an article published in a mathematics journal before. So even though the probability of Dr. Penning successfully teaching his dog calculus using clicker training or treats to prove Elvis's intelligence may be extremely low, Elvis nonetheless is one very smart dog.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.